Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. Today is part two of my two-part interview with marriage coach Bill Hutchinson. Now, Bill has written a book called Marriage Happiness is Possible, and it's available down in the show notes down below, and I recommend that you go get it. He's giving you a free copy of it. This is going to be awesome for your marriage. I mean, are you missing that spark of the early days of your marriage? You know, when you were in that honeymoon period when everything was sweet, you looked forward to coming home and just spending quality time with your spouse. Those days are possible again. Maybe not in the, 100% strictest sense of the honeymoon stage when you first got married, but Bill is helping people who have lost that spark to regain it again. They've lost that intimacy, that time of just spending time with each other and enjoying that time. He's helping these people to renew their marriage in strength through God. So we're going to join this interview already in progress. We're going to conclude our interview now. Back into the interview with Bill Hutchinson. As we continue, you talk about the marriage road, and I love the analogy you use of potholes that are the result of unconscious assumptions and unexpressed expectations. How can a couple prevent those potholes from forming in the first place?
Well, generally we can't, because a lot of the assumptions we have when we come into marriage are really unconscious assumptions. They were not taught to us, and they were not communicated by us to our spouse. They were things that we learned. Can I give you an example?
Sure.
Yeah. A friend of mine, and he and his wife gave me permission to share this, but Kurt and Mandy, I performed a wedding preparation for them and married them, five years ago now. They're doing great, but even after all of our preparation, where we talked about some of this, Kurt shared with me, shared with a number of people in a retreat, last fall, with a number of people there, how he had come into marriage thinking that women loved gifts because his mother loved gifts. And if you wanted to make his mother happy, then, you could buy her a little gift and it showed that you loved her. Mm-hmm. And so he assumed all women like gifts. Well, his wife, Mandy, that's not her love language. And she is a CPA. And she's a facts and figures person. And, her love language is different from that. And so when they got into their marriage, he was trying to give regular maintenance. And so instead of going back to the love languages that we talked about, he went back to this assumption and he would buy Mandy these gifts. Well, they were appreciated, but she didn't seem so happy with them. And finally, they talked about it and she said, well, I appreciate that, but... And when they talked about it and communicated about that, now there wasn't a pothole yet, but it disappointed him that she didn't appreciate those gifts the way his mom had appreciated those gifts, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it can be something as innocent as that. The expectation, for example, you're going to make me happy. We may say that. How many times have you been to a wedding and the groom or the bride would stand up and make a toast to their beloved and say, oh, I love her because she's always there for me and she makes me so happy and I can't wait to spend my life with her. And if you'll notice, those comments are filled with the perpendicular pronoun, about me, about I. Yep. And, well, when you get into marriage and you realize that it really, she can't meet those expectations completely,
Yep.
But what she can do is she can, with God's help, meet God's expectations. And so if you don't have that understanding to begin with, if you don't understand the purpose of marriage from God's perspective, as he's revealed it in scripture, then it can be kind of testy. Over time, that can become a pothole.
Yeah.
Amen. And, so, the good news is, and I always like the gospel, good news. Good news is God can help us identify those, can help us repair those potholes, and, you know, life can change because he can change us, right?
Amen. Amen. You know, I mean, in marriage, let's say there's a marriage, how can I put this, using this analogy? Let's say it was a, we'll call it a well-traveled highway of marriage. And, you know, some potholes develop on roads that are well-traveled. How can they resurface the highway, as you say, to keep things running smooth?
Well, the joy of what I do is to watch couples do this, okay? Take Mandy and Kurt, for example. When he realized there was a weakness there in you know, I call it charity lane in the book, kind of the straight and the narrow, using the word for love, the King James translates in 1 Corinthians 13, you know, charity. But he began to realize there were some problems there on charity lane, and so they talked about it. And once they identified that, they didn't need my help for this. They were well aware and of how to communicate, and they began to talk about this. And once they talked about it, then he was able to change his response to her or change the way he did. And so now, in a more traveled marriage, in my own relationship, for example, before I really understood the whole idea of, for example, the five love languages, you know, I thought if I could just hug my wife and give her a kiss or sit by her or hold her hand, that that would do for her the same thing it would do for me. Mm-hmm. Now, we were married in 80, and it was not until 96, which was the year after Chapman's book on the five love languages came out. I happened to be reading it. And so one day I come home, I'm greeted by my bride at the door, and when she opens the door, there's a great meal as this wafting out, you know. And so she says, "Look, you go back, get changed, come back to girls, and I'll have meal on the table." Well, I gave her a sloppy kiss and hugged her and patted her on the fanny and went back and changed my clothes, came back, and there they sat, and I sat with them. We had a delightful meal. The girls helped clean up the table. We were leaving the table, and I said to my wife, "Sweetheart, you cooked such a great meal. Why don't you go sit down and watch TV, and I'll wash the dishes. I'll put away everything, wash the dishes, clean the stove." So she did, and you know, 25 minutes later, I'm folding the washcloth and putting it up, and I'm kind of like, you know, the kid who stuck in his thumb and pulled out a plum and thought, "What a good boy am I." Yeah. And so I walked around the corner to from our kitchen to our den, and there sat my wife, and I smiled at her, and she looked at me, and her face didn't change. And so I thought she had just seen something on the news she didn't like, and I said, "Well, I'm finished," and I smiled, and she still didn't smile at me. She just looked at me. And she had that look. You know that look, Bob?
Everybody knows the look.
The look. And so the first thing that happened was I became defensive. This stuff welled up on me. How dare you, you know, not appreciate this when I did it? And so I was thinking all up into Bill and what he needed. And we had one of those pointed conversations, if I may say that. And it was brief. And she did get the last word in, Bob, and this was the word: "Bill, you are rarely here to eat dinner with us. When you are here to eat dinner, so often you're so tired, you're not available to us. I would rather wash dishes with you than you wash dishes for me." Well, I couldn't say anything to that.
Yeah.
And what she was telling me was what I was reading at the same time and didn't know it, but it took a little while and I realized what Chapman was saying was true and that my wife needed to be loved in that way. And so, you know, I had to change the way I did things. Now, I still wanted the kiss and still wanted a hug, and but the first thing I needed to think about was, what does Mary Beth need?
Yeah, amen.
And she needed that. So we had a pothole that had developed, and she was not feeling very valued. She appreciated what I did, but it didn't make her feel loved. There's a lot of difference between feeling loved and valued and feeling appreciated. I had to change my behavior, but I had to understand it first.
Right. Yeah.
So communication, the Holy Spirit helping me to see that, this resource from outside, and I've changed my behavior. So
praise the Lord.
Every day now I try to give her that 20 minutes plus a day. Now, what that does is I was able after that to fill in that pothole, right? Mm-hmm. And she doesn't remember that. She didn't want to remember that. She doesn't hold that against me. But now if I go too long without this, I can go back and do a little resurfacing without there being a huge pothole.
Amen.
Got it? So.
Amen. You also talk about comparing and contrasting the different personality types in the marriage.
Yes.
Explain how those things can strengthen a marriage when it seems they're the source of conflict.
I use primarily the Myers-Briggs type indicator as a personality inventory to help couples understand their own personalities. So my wife and I, for example, are different in that I am a big picture person. I stay up here in concepts, and I like to draw dots between concepts that don't necessarily connect easily. But my wife is a very detailed person, and she likes to look at everything in its detail, pull it apart, look at it, put it back together, and see how it's put together. So we realized, for example, that early on, if we had a financial decision to make, and we had the luxury of time to make it, like buying a car, got an old car, it's on its last leg, on its last tire, and we need to buy something else. The first thing we decide is how much money can we afford, because we don't like to go into debt for automobiles, mm-hmm. and so we can pay cash for it. Now, what I will do then is I will go start looking at cars in general. These cars have are in our price range, and they have the best reliability, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I'll bring my research back to my wife, and I may spend an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours on that over a couple of days. I'll give it to her, and because we have the luxury of time, she will look at it, but she will also think about things I didn't. For example, does this have the kind of hooks in it that are easy to put a car seat in? Because we're not buying brand new cars. And years ago, when we first had grandchildren, we had before us cars that did and didn't have right. those hooks, you know? Yep. And I didn't think about that. She would think about other things, and she would come back to me and she'd say, well, I like this one because. So it was helpful for her to use what the kind of brain that God wired for her and the brain that God wired for me. And we put those things together, and we've bought cars that we were both happy with, you know?
Right.
And so that's it. I also use it in communication because my wife is an introvert. Nothing wrong with that. A large segment of the population are introverted. And it simply means that they look, when they're thinking about relating to people out here, they have to turn inward, talk about what within themselves, talk about what they're going to say, and then say it. I'm a terminal extrovert, and I can't think without talking. And so when we had early in our relationship, when we'd have a disagreement, my not understanding my wife's personality, the first thing I thought we needed to do is talk this out. You know, the wannabe counselor in me said, you can't let this go. You've got to talk it out. You got to get it. No, don't let the sun go down on your anger, you know?
Right.
Well, I would push for my wife to talk, and she didn't talk. And I assumed that she was just closing up and she was not going to talk about this. And I knew that would not be good for our relationship in the future. And I can remember back in the early 80s, we hadn't been married 3 years. We had this conversation in the house we were living in now, started in the kitchen. And I don't even remember what it was about. I started saying, okay, pushing her, we got to talk about this. And she said, well, no. And she moved to the next room out of the kitchen, and I moved in there, and she still wouldn't. She moved, took a right turn and went into another room, and I followed her there, and then she went into a room connected to that. And we circled around and around the middle of that house three times. She was upset because I was pushing her. I was upset because I didn't think she wanted to talk about it, and that threatened me when I understood she was an introvert. Mm-hmm. Speaking of having to change to accommodate my bride, then now when we have a conversation that we don't have them nearly as often as we used to, thank the Lord. But when we do have them, and we do, I will say to her, okay, how long do you need? That's the question I ask. Mm-hmm. 15 minutes, 30 minutes. If she says she needs half a day or a day, I'm in trouble. You know, but, you know, 15, 30 minutes later, I come back and I say, you ready to talk? And she says, well, yes or no, I need 15 more minutes. Well, when we sit down then, I'm convinced that she really cares about our relationship and wants to get this cleared up. And she is grateful that I was not pushing her so that she couldn't think about it first, you know?
Yeah, amen. Amen.
And so we come together like that. And that's what I teach couples, things like that, that if we understand our relationship, our personality, our relationship will be deeper because we can appreciate the differences. And if we don't try to change them, but accept that those basic personality differences, introversion, extroversion, sensing versus intuition, thinking versus feeling, judging versus perceiving, those categories in Myers-Briggs, if we understand them, then we can appreciate how God has created that person and see that when they have some part personality trait that I don't have, then that is actually a strength for our relationship. Yeah. She brings more to it than I have. Amen. And I bring things to it that she doesn't have. So, but it comes with understanding and appreciation.
Amen. I have to ask this because it's something that I always wondered. When you've hit one of those potholes in your marriage and you start working on patching it up, like you were just explaining, does your wife ever say something like, don't try that counseling stuff on me, buddy?
Well, no, she doesn't say that because not any longer. Now, when it's funny you should say that because that episode I was talking about back in 1981, when I was asking all these questions and I was pushing her because I said, we've got to talk about this. If we don't, it'll hurt our relationship. She did say something in that regard to me. What she was saying was, you're pushing me and I can't think, so I can't do that. Mm-hmm. But what came out was, look, you are pushing me right now and I don't want to be pushed. Mm-hmm. You're trying to be the counselor and I don't want to be pushed. Well, you know, she didn't express it in a way I could understand it, and I didn't understand what was going on with her. So yes, but in these days, it's not that. It is, It is how much time do you need, which is an acknowledgement that she is different from me.
Yeah, amen, amen. How important is it to say just thank you for things your spouse does for you, even things that you typically just take for granted?
It's extraordinarily important. I will tell you, I have a whole chapter in my book dedicated to gratitude because what we're discovering, scientifically speaking, actually, that when we express gratitude to other people, it literally rewires our brain in a positive way. Okay. And so, theologically speaking, that's why worshiping and praising God is so important because it wires our brain to expect from God those good things. But for couples, we are generally going to look for something. Now, if we choose to look for the good, doesn't mean we can't see bad things that we may need to talk about. But it means that we will see more of the good things and realize that person that I married is still a wonderful person. Mm-hmm. You know, we may be having a little, we may have fallen in a pothole right now, you know, but if I can look for something for which I can be grateful, genuinely grateful, then it, number one, predisposes me to see the positive things later, but it also will, once expressed, will predispose the other person to be grateful either back to me or to someone else. Now, that's what the research shows.
Amen. Amen. You know, I know with our marriage of 42 plus years, there have been ups and downs. You know, there've been stressful times. There've been fun times. It's never a smooth road all the time. And sometimes it even seems like we may be like stuck in traffic, if you want to call it that. But how important is it to maintain a fun attitude even when things are going wrong?
Well, again, I have a chapter in my book entitled Taking Fun Seriously. You know, it's one of those ways where we can intentionally work on the relationship. And the best time to work on a relationship is not under stress.
Right. Amen.
It's when things are more jovial, where we're feeling appreciated, where we're feeling valued and loved. She's feeling cherished. He's feeling respected. Okay. Well, how do you do that? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to say, but we often have to build into our busy lives a schedule for having fun. So I actually recommend that people try to do something weekly, something monthly, something quarterly, something annually, like a vacation, you know, something like that. But, and also doing new things, not always the same thing.
Right.
Because it's the newness of an experience that both of you say, yeah, you know, I'd kind of like to do this. I don't know, but I'd kind of like to do this. And if both of you do that, then if you both like it, being in a new place stretches the relationship some in a positive way, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, here is the payoff. If you build into your relationship some fun, where both people are having fun, then it makes it easier then to talk about, okay, dear, you know, we hit a pothole last week. What can we do about that? What do you think about that? What did you see? What did you hear? But we're doing it from the point of view of having felt loved and being in love, right?
Right. Amen.
Now, you can't always do that. I understand. There are times when you have to talk about it when it's passionate, it's painful. However, a lot of those times in our life don't have to be dealt with like that. But the reason they're dealt with like that is because we haven't built in anything fun into our life, you know?
Yeah.
We just live in the pressure cooker all the time.
Amen. Amen. Bill, we're about out of time. I just want to say I truly enjoyed our conversation today,
Thank man. You.
I appreciate it.
Appreciate that.
If someone wanted to get in touch with you, ask a question, ask for help with your services, or maybe even do an interview such as this, how can they do that? How can they get in touch with you?
www.selflesslove.net/ KCR.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Kingdom Crossroad. If you'll go to that, and it'll be in your end notes there.
Yep.
Number one, I will, for the first 25 individuals who contact me and, you know, will give me a name, an email address, and a snail mail address, I will mail to you my not yet in the bookstores copy of Marriage Maximized, A Guide to a Purposeful and Passionate Relationship.
Amen.
I'd love to offer an opportunity. If you go to www.selflesslove.net, you can go there for a call. You know, there's a place to click on there and schedule a 45-minute, obligation-free, pressure-free conversation with me where we talk about your relationship and talk about where it is and where you think God wants it to be and what challenges lie in between where it is and where it needs to be, and see if there's something I might be able to do to walk with you long enough to help you get down that direction, you know?
Amen.
Would love to do that. That's what I live for, Bob. I really live for helping couples maximize their marriage.
Amen. I appreciate that. And I'll put all the links to this in the show notes. Folks, marriage is a godly gift. I mean, marriage is, on this earth, the closest relationship representing God himself here physically that we can possess on this earth. I mean, two individual, unique spiritual beings joining together to make a brand new singular spiritual entity, something that never existed before. That is what takes place when two born-again believers unite before God and join themselves together in marriage in his presence. And what the man lacked, God provides through his wife. What the woman lacks, God provides through her husband. The two have become one in his eyes. It's a miraculous thing, and it happens when a man and woman join together in marriage. It's just awesome. Amen?
Amen. And
the converse of that, the devil knows it. That's why he works extra hard to bring division in marriages. You know, don't allow the devil to destroy what God has joined together. If you're in a situation you know is not God's best for you right now, get in touch with Bill Hutchison. I mean, he has the resources. He has the training. He has the knowledge. He has the experiences of almost 40 years of helping couples just like you. And at a minimum, you need to get his book. I mean, even if nothing else in your eyes with your marriage, don't you want to make it better? All right. Even if nothing's wrong, don't you want to make it better? Go to the links in the show notes and order his book. Add yourself to his contact list so you'll be notified when his next book, Marriage Maximize, is about to be released as well. Bill, thank you again for taking the time to come on the program today, man. I do appreciate it.
Oh, it has been my pleasure. I really appreciate it, Bob. So God bless you. God bless your ministry. And God bless all of you who are listening.
Amen. Folks, that is all the time we have for today. For Bill Richardson, retired Pastor Bill Richardson. You're not the senator from Arizona, are you?
No.
for retired Pastor Bill Hutchison, glory to God. This is Pastor Bob Romano, and you need to be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.